The first parak of Shabbos starts out talking about the Isra of Hotzah, but then we will quickly change gears. So Mishnah Aleph talks as follows about the Isra of Hotzah, which is the Isra of going from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid, or Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim, or also going four Amas within Rishus HaRabim, and to violate the prohibition, you have to do an Akira, lifting up the item, Ha'avarah, carrying it, passing it from Rishus to Rishus, so the four Amas within the Rishus HaRabim, and also a Hanacha, placing it down. So the Mishnah says as follows, something absolutely fundamental, Yitzios HaShabbos Shtayim Shen Arba Bifnim, Ushtayim Shen Arba Bachutz. As the Mishnah will tell us shortly, we're talking now about somebody is inside a house, for example, in Rishus HaYachid, somebody is outside in the Rishus HaRabim, and we have Yitzios HaShabbos Shtayim, we have two Isuri Doraisa of the person who is inside, and also we will add on two Isurei Derabanan on top of that for a total of four. Ushtayim Shen Arba, the same thing applies to Isurei Deraisa that can be committed by the person on the outside, and we'll add another two Derabanan as well for a total of four. So Kate said, what's our scenario? Ha'ani Omed Bachutz, we have somebody who's needy on the outside, a poor person waiting to get some breads, getting some food, whatever handed out to him, or he will take it out for himself. So Ha'ani Omed Bachutz, the Ani is on the outside in the Rishus HaRabim, Ma'bala Bayis Bifnim, and we have the Bala Bayis is on the inside of the house. So the Ani is in the Rishus HaRabim, and the Bala Bayis, the owner of the house, is in the Rishus HaYachid. And now we're going to go through a number of scenarios. We're going to first talk about the two Isuri De'oraisa that the Ani, who's standing on the outside, could do. And it's one of two things. He can do a Hachnasa, he has an item outside, and he can put it on the inside, for example, into the hand of the Bala Bayis, who is passive. So we have the Ani doing the Akira, the Ha'avara, passing from the Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid, and the Anacha, placing it into the hand of the Bala Bayis. So we can have the Ani doing a Hotzah, doing all three of the acts of Akira, Havara, and Hanacha, but he's taking out an item instead of putting an item in. So it goes as follows. We're focused on the Ani on the outside here, two Isur Deraisa. Number one, Pashat He'ani Es Yado Lifnim. We have the Ani doing Hachnasa. He is passing his hand on the inside. Benasan Letuch Yado Shabalabais. He has an item in his hand. He's taking it from the outside. He does the Akira, Havara, and Hanacha, and he places it into the hand of the Balabais, who's passive. That is the Ani doing all of the acts. That is the Isur Deraisa of Hachnasa, or we can have the Ani doing Hotzah. We have the Ani taking something that is in the hand of the basket of the Bala Bayis on the inside. So again, he's doing all the acts. He's doing the Akira, the Havara, taking it out, and he's doing a Hanach outside. In both of these scenarios, Ani Chayav, Bala Bayis Patur, the Ani is Chayav, and the Bala Bayis, he didn't do anything. So the two Isurei Doraisa done fully by the Ani, Ahotzah and Hachnas. And conversely, now we're going to have the Bala Bayis standing on the inside do Hotza'ah or Ahachnasa, both of them are Isuri Doraisa done by the Bala Bayis, who's doing all of the acts with the Ani on the outside being passive. So Pashat Bala Bayis said Yadola Chotz Vinasan Letok Yadol Shala Ani. Here we have the Hotza'ah being done by the Bala Bayis, so he's taking an item from the inside, he's passing it out on the outside and putting it into the passive hand of the Ani. So we have the Bala Bayis doing all the acts of the Isur Doraisa of Hotza'ah, or we can have the Bala Bayis doing all the acts and doing a Hachnatza. He takes something from the passive Ani and takes it to the inside. So he took it from the passive Ani and he brings it in. Bala Bayis Chayev Ani Patur. Here we have two Isur Doraisa that we just mentioned, Ahotza and Achnasa, done by the Bala Bayis, and the Ani is Patur. Now we're going to talk back about the Ani, and we're going to talk about two Isuri Derabanan, that an act that is done partially by the Ani, and again, it's going to be part of the Achnasa or part of the Ahotza this time. It's going to be an Isur Derabanan, because he's only doing part. And then in the next part of the Mishnah, we're going to talk about the Bala Bayis, who's doing part of the acts as well, on an Isur Derabanan level. So now we're back. Pashat Ha'ani Es Yadol Lifnim. If we have the Ani, that indeed he is machnis his hand inside. And here we don't have the Bala Bayis who's being passive, but we have the Bala Bayis who's being active. So we had the Ani doing the Akira. He's putting it in the inside, but he doesn't place it down. V'nata Bala Bayis mitochem. We have the Bala Bayis taking it from the hand of the Ani. So we have the Bala Bayis doing the Hanacha. So we had the Ani doing the first half of the act on a Hachnasa basis. Or we're going to have now the Ani doing half of the acts on a Hotzah basis. Oshinas on the Tocha, we have the Bala Bayis who put the item into the hand of the Ani, the Hotzi, and now the Ani takes it out and puts it down. So half of the act is done by the Ani. Shneim Turim, in this situation, not that it's Mutter, but each of them are over an Isser Durabanan, but we're focused on the Ani now, and now we're going to focus on the Balabais and the same acts we just talked about, but the Balabais, we're going to focus on his involvement. So Pashat Balabais et Yado Lachut, so we have the Hotzah part of the act, we have the Balabais that is doing a part, he's doing the Hotzah, but he is doing the Akira, he's passing it out, but he doesn't do the Hanacha, because he, Pashat Balabais et Yado Lachut, v'natel Ani B'tocha, the Ani isn't passive in this situation, that is when we had an Isser Dorais, the Ani is taking it from the hand of the Balabais and he's placing it down. So we have the Balabais doing the first act, so that's an Isser Derabanan on the Hotzah, and now we have the Balabais doing the Hachnasa, or Shinasan Letocha V'ichnis, we have the Ani put it into the hand of the Balabais, and now the Balabais brings it in and puts it down, so the Balabais is only doing half the act on the Hachnasa side. Shneim Turim, again, it's an Isser Derabanan for each of them. Mishnah Beis is a precursor to Mishnah Gimel. Mishnah Gimel, we're going to talk about various things that are prohibited on Erev Shabbos, because we're concerned that people are going to do the Isser of Hotzah. So Mishnah Beis is going to talk about all week long limitations on people not doing acts that they would, that could cause them to miss davening mincha. If they've davened mincha already, do them, but if you haven't davened mincha yet, daven first. So Mishnah Beis, lo yeshev adam lifnei hasapar samuch mincha, you should not get a haircut right before davening mincha. Samuch means within a half hour of davening mincha, and here we would say mincha is talking about 6.5 hours in the day, this man mincha, according to the Bartanura here. There are different times for mincha, it's a mincha gedola, mincha tektana, so it says it's mincha gedola here, 6.5 hours in the day, so don't even start these activities a half hour in advance, because it says samuch l'mincha, half hour in advance. Don't even start at 6 hours into the day, because, for example, the scissor may break of the barber, and you may get dragged into fixing them, and you may never come to daven mincha. So lo yeshev adam livnei asabar samuch l'mincha yishisbalo lo yikanes adam l'merchas. Don't take a schwitz. You get dragged in, and you may forget to daven mincha. V'lo leborsaki, don't go into a tannery and be tanning skins. V'lo lechol, don't have a meal. V'lo ledin, and don't go and start judging a case. V'im hischilu, however, if you did violate this and you did start any of those activities, emaf seeking, you don't have to stop. You can daven mincha afterwards. And now we're going to have a separate din, maf seeking the cross kriyachim. If we have people who are torasam umenosam, their whole life is learning, like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochanan, when they are learning, they have to interrupt their learning for Kriyat Shema. They ain't mafsikin mitfila, but they don't have to interrupt their learning to daven Kriyat Shema as Doraisa. Davening is Derabbanan. Mishnah Gimel. Limitations on coming close to Shabbos. Don't do certain activities because you may come to violate Shabbos. So lo yetze hachayit b'machato samuch l'chashicha. A half hour before Shabbos start, if we have a chayit, if we have a tailor, he should not go out with his needle that he uses to sew, because he may come, Shema Yishkach Fez, he may come to forget it, and he may come to do the Isra of Otzah, carrying an Isra Doraisa. This is talking about even if that needle is pinned into his garment, that's the normal way for a tailor to carry it. So don't even within half an hour put it into your garment, because you may forget about it, and you may come to carry on Shabbos. Similarly, V'lo ha-lavlar b'kul muso, if we have a lavlar who was a scribe, he's writing a Megillah, writing a Sefer Torah, don't put it behind your ear even a half hour before Shabbos, because you may come to carry it out, and that is the normal way of carrying. That's where a lavlar, that's where a scribe puts his pen, his quill, behind his ear. So don't put it there, because that would be the Isser D'oraisa of carrying. V'lo yifales kelav, v'lo yikra l'or haner. There are certain activities that should not be done on Shabbos. It's not talking about before Shabbos, but on Shabbos, next to a candle, because the concern is you may come to adjust the candle. Candles with oil, for example, you may come to put in more, you may come to stoke the flame, you may want to increase the flame. So don't delouse, remove the lice from your clothing on Shabbos next to that candle, and also don't read next to the candle, because you may come to adjust it, that you would be over the Isser D'oraisa of increasing the flame. So this is a Gzeira D'Rabbanan, two Gzeiras D'Rabbanan, not to delouse and not to read next to that flame, because you may come to adjust that flame. Be'emes amru, and truth be told, achazan roa hechan etina kakorin, aval hol hu lo yikra. The chazan, that's the teacher, is permitted to look in where the students are reading, but he himself is not permitted to read with the flame, with the fire, because he is watching the students to make sure that they don't stoke the flames. But who is watching him? Nobody. So he cannot read with the flame. Kiyotzeba, similarly, when we're concerned about an isser may occur, So we have gzeiras of chazal to avoid iser. So we have a lo yochal hazavi mazav. If we have a zav, a man who had certain emissions, so he has the status of a zav, a certain level of tuma, he is not permitted to eat together with his wife who is a zava. We have a prohibition, a biblical prohibition of having relations, a zav and a zava together with a woman who's a zava. And accordingly, even a husband and wife, they're both a zava, even if he's not a zav, would be prohibited to eat together, because if they're eating from the same plate, for example, they may come to have relations. So that's another gzera chazal. Mishnah Dalit says, ve'elu, we just had a reference in the prior Mishnah that you should not delouse your clothing, to not read next to a candle, because you may adjust the flame. So those are two separate prohibitions of chazal. Those two are from the halacha she'amru ba'alias Hanina ben Chizkiah ben Gurion she'kishalu levakro. There was a situation that there was a concern that Sefer Yechezkel had some conflicts in it, so chazal, there were pushes to ban it, to bury it, to not allow people to read it. And Hananiah ben Chizkiah went up to his attic to write a commentary to explain and reconcile the differences, the conflicts. And at that point, what it's saying in the Mishnah first is, Eilu min halacha, the halacha is the gzeira of not reading next to the flame. We had two gezeiras we talked about, not delousing and not reading next to a candle. Those were of the halachas that were decided while Hananiah was up there writing the commentary and Sefer Yechezkel. So Ninu, what happened? How was it decided about Ninu? There was a time that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, various students came to visit Hananiah up in his attic, and quickly they took account. We have these outstanding decisions we need to make. Ninu v'rabu Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. They saw that there was more Beis Shammai than Beis Hillel right there, so Beis Hillel pushed that they'll vote right now. They knew they would win. And they made a decision. 18 things they made gzeiras on at that time. It's the detail is in the Maseches Shabbos, in the Gemara there. But two of them were, as we have mentioned, about not reading next to a candle. Mishnah Hey, we're going to get into a very halacha lemaisa discussion of Shvisas Kelim. Mishnah Hey and Mishnah Vav thereafter. What Shvisas Kelim? So obviously we can't do work on Shabbos. Our children, our wives, our servants can't work on Shabbos. Our animals can't work on Shabbos. The pasuk lists all of those. But how about our Kelim, our vessels, our utensils? Can a malacha that's set up before Shabbos be done with them on Shabbos? For example, a computer, can we back it up right before Shabbos and continues into Shabbos? So Beis Shammai is of the view that Shvisas Kelim is required. We can't have our vessels doing work for us over Shabbos, even though we set it up before Shabbos. And Beis Hillel says there's no prohibition on Shvisas Kelim. It's only for people, their animals, etc., but not for the Kelim. So Beis Shammai Omim, examples of this, Ein Shorin Dio, we do not put ingredients together. We don't literally soak ingredients in a pot to make ink, v'samamanim, and dyes in a bowl. So put it into the bowl, because we're having these items be held by a vessel. V'karshini, I'm putting vetch is something that is eaten by animals, but you have to soak it to make it soft. You have to put it in a bowl. So you can't be using your vessels from before Shabbos and into Shabbos, these activities. It's a violation of Shvisas Kelim. Ela kadesh yishoru mibo'od yom, unless it becomes fully soaked before Shabbos starts, because the Shvisas Kelim in Beis Hillel matir, and Beis Hillel says we don't hold by Shvisas Kelim, it's totally mutter, as long as you did the actions before Shabbos, you're not involved into Shabbos. Your kli has no requirement to rest on Shabbos. Mishnah Vav, Beis Shammai Omrim. More examples. They nosnim onim shel pishtan letocha tanur elakidei she'avilu mibod yom. We do not put bundles of flax into an oven. The oven is going to continue heating them. You can't do that right before Shabbos. It has to be fully heated before Shabbos starts. V'lo et ha-semer l'yora. We are also not permitted to put wool into a dyer's vat. The vat is the kli that would be doing the work. Elakadei she'yiklot ayin, unless it absorbs the dye before Shabbos starts. So Beis Hillel matirim. Beis Hillel says there's no iser of Shvisas Kelim. Beis Shammai Omrim, continuing another example, Ein porsi metzudas chayav ofos v'dagim. Elakadei she'yitzodu midonim. We don't set up traps to trap animals and birds and fish unless they are caught before Shabbos, but you can't set them up and be catching on Shabbos. That is Shvisas Kelim. You're not allowed to have your trap you're working for you on Shabbos. It's Beis Hillel Matirim. Beis Hillel says no problem. There's no Ister Shvisas Kelim. But now, Mishnah Zayin, We are Mishnah Zayin and Ches. We're going to talk about something related, but not exactly on point. That was Shvisas Kalim we talked about. Now we're going to talk about activities dealing with non-Jews. Are we giving off the appearance before Shabbos, but the activity of the non-Jew will continue into Shabbos? Are we giving off the impression that we are requesting that non-Jew do work for us on Shabbos? So Mishnah Zayin and Ches will discuss this topic. For example, going to deliver, putting a letter into that mailbox before Shabbos, so the non-Jew may be delivering it on Shabbos. But there also it's a little bit more complicated because maybe there he's only going to pick it up on Shabbos. That's an emir la'akum. Here we're more talking about giving off the impression. So Beis Shammai Omri Mishnah Zayin a mochrim lo v'kachavim. We're not allowed to sell something if we're on our property in our store. Don't sell something to a non-Jew right before Shabbos. Vein to'anim imo, and don't work together to load up an animal. So work with him. We'll work as a help each other to load up his animal. And example number three, Ve Magbin 11, also don't help put a load on top of him, on his shoulders, on his back, Ela Kadesh Yagiu L'Makam Karov, unless he can get to a close place before Shabbos starts, unless he can get home, wherever he's going, he has to get there before Shabbos. He can't be traveling on Shabbos with the stuff that we have loaded on him or loaded on his animal, etc., because that's giving off the impression that we have requested this non-Jew to do work for us on Shabbos. So Beis Hillel Matir, and Beis Hillel is not concerned. As long as he leaves our premises before Shabbos, I'm not concerned that it's giving off the appearance that he's doing work for me on Shabbos. Mishnah Ches, similarly, Beis Shammai Omrim Inostim Oros La'abdam, we cannot give hides to a non-Jew to tan it on Shabbos. Lokelim L'Koves Ove Kachamim, we can't give clothing to a koves, so there's a laundromat, somebody's going to do our laundry, a non-Jew. Ela Kadesh Yasu B'Mod Yom, unless they can finish up the work before Shabbos, it looks like we're asking him to do the work on Shabbos. And again, we have a machlokes of a chulam beis hillel matir min shemes. Beis hillel says you can give it even right before Shabbos. I'm not concerned. He's not working on your premises. He's working on his premises. Not concerned that it looks like you are giving him work to do on Shabbos. Mishnah Tes, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is a continuation. We see Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel was actually machmir. His family was a machmir like Beis Shammai Noagim Hayu Beis Abin. Are my family, my father, they were Noeg Shayu Nosnim Klei Lavan Lekoves Ove Kochavim. They would give the white clothing, which take 3 days to clean. They would mock me to give it only 3 days in advance of Shabbos, Shlosh Yamim Kodem the Shabbos, because they didn't want to give off the appearance. Like my Beis Shammai, we were strict like Beis Shammai. We don't want to give off the appearance that we're giving the non-Jew work to do on Shabbos. Veshavin Elu Ve'elu, and here Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai agree. In other words, even Beis Shammai would be lenient in the following situation. Veshavin Elu Ve'elu, Shetoanim Koros Beis Habad Ve'igule Gas. It has to do with when we're pressing olives and grapes. That the way they would press olives and grapes is that they took one pass at them. They would like crush them, for example, with their feet. And then they would take a second pass at them. So the real crushing and the real issue deraisa of taking out the juice was on the first pass, and the second pass was getting what was left. So on that second pass, even Beis Shammai would agree that you could put the koros, those are the beams of the olive presses, to squeeze out the balance of the olive oil. And the same thing, the igule hagas, you could put on the discs of the wine press to take that second pass at pressing out the grapes. Mishnah Yud, we have even Beis Hillel being machmir in a certain situation. We're concerned going into Shabbos when it comes to cooking. And here the general concern is that if we leave something on and we put it on right before Shabbos, you're going to want to adjust it, especially when they had wood and they had flames that were underneath, and you're going to want to adjust it, and that could come. The concern is here, Shema Yachta B'Kachalim, you could come and stoke the flames, you can go and move the coals. Mavir Havara is lighting a fire in Isra Doraisa. Could it happen nowadays as well that you want to adjust the flame? So Mishnah Yud, Ein Solin Basar, we are not permitted to roast meat, batzal, onions, ubeitza, eggs, Ela Kadesh Yitzolo Mibodlam Yom, unless they are cooked by the time Shabbos starts. Here we're talking about that they are edible by that time, and the standard is a third of what its normal cooking is. That's Ma'achal ben Drusai. Ben Drusai was a thief that never had time. He was always on the run, never had time to fully cook his food. He used to cook it up to a third and run with it. So that would have to be even base. Hillel is concerned to you that you may come to stoke the flames. A nosnim paslatan or im chashecha. Similarly, you can't put bread into an oven right before Shabbos is starting. V'lo charara agabe gechalim, and don't put some bread onto the charcoal right before Shabbos. But you have to make sure that it comes to a certain level of baking before Shabbos starts. Ela kadesh yikrumu panemi b'ad yom. It has to be that it forms a crust on it, the way they used to put their bread in, is they used to stick the bread to the side of the oven. So here, forming a crust means the outer point of that bread that's pointing towards the fire, that would actually develop later, the forming of the crust, because the side that was on the oven would form a crust sooner because it was on the hot side of the oven. So this is the first sheet of Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Kedei Sheikrom HaTachton Shalev. When we talk about that, it has to reach a certain level of cooking. We're talking about the side that is on the surface of the oven, that the crust will form quicker. We just have to worry about that. As soon as that happens, that's what you have to be careful about. That will form, that crust will form before Shabbos. Mishnah Yud Aleph. Similar vein, when are we not concerned with doing something right before Shabbos, going into Shabbos? Mishal Shalin as a Pesach, Bitanur im Chashech, an exception to the rule is typically don't put stuff right into the oven right before. Shema Yachta B'Gachalim, you were concerned that you can stoke the flames, etc. You can adjust things, but if it has to do the Korban Pesach, if Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, the Lel HaSeder is Friday night, so you can put the Korban Pesach right into the oven right before Shabbos, because people typically do it with a chabura, they do it with friends. Everyone's going to watch for the other, making sure that they're not Mechal Shabbos and adjusting the flame under that Korban Pesach. And similarly, another time that we're not going to be concerned, Ma'achizin as Or B'Meduras Beis HaMokad. Beis HaMokad was the chamber in the Beis HaMikdash that they used to light a fire with so that the Kohanim could come and heat themselves up. So you can simply light the fire right before Shabbos, that's not a problem. We're not concerned. Kohanim Zrizim, and the Kohanim are very careful. We don't have to be careful, concerned that they're going to come and stoke the flames in the Beis HaMikdash. Ubik Vulin, however, where we are going to be concerned is outside of the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have that concept of Kohanim. There's Zrizim, and they're very careful. If you want to light a flame, a fire, a bonfire right before Shabbos, Kedesh Te'echos Ha'ur B'Ruban, you have to make sure that the fire is indeed lit up the majority of the wood that you are lighting to ensure that somebody is not going to come stoke it. So you have to have a lot of it burning already when before Shabbos happens, so we don't have the concern that somebody's going to violate Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, an exception to the rule here that we have to be less careful about is bebekacham in koshu, when we're talking about coals, because coals light. As soon as you light it, that coal will take. It doesn't need human involvement to come and stoke it at all. Then, as long as that fire is lit even in a small amount, we're not concerned. So just light it right before Shabbos when it comes to coals, and that is sufficient.